is an 8-iron, and it's a dead shank.
Wow.
Way right.
Oh, takes a hop off the path.
You gotta be kidding me.
Very tough pitch shot right here. You gotta hit it into the hill. One hop up and bite, and it's in.
Kind of like that!
All right. Welcome, everyone, to the first ever episode of the Sub 70 podcast. My name is Jay Armour. I will be handling a lot of the marketing and content management stuff for Sub 70. The first thing I want to do is just give a quick sort of summary of what Sub 70 is. We are a new golf club equipment company. We will be launching this spring, hopefully March or April. The idea of the company, it's been about 18 months in the making as far as R&D and product testing and all of those sorts of things go. Basically, we are creating a high-end, premium, factory direct to consumer golf club company. It's all going to be very high quality, but we want the pricing to be something that people can actually afford and use and feel comfortable spending their money on. The product is going to sell itself. The people behind the company are all very passionate about golf and wanted to create a company that we can stand behind and clubs that we can stand behind. So we are very excited to launch that. The podcast is going to be something entirely different. We will very rarely, if ever, bring up the actual product, club company. But I did want to sort of give a quick summary of what we're all about and where we're, you know, what we're working on. If you are interested in the club side of it, our website is currently being worked on, but all of our social media accounts are active. So if you just go on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram and search for Golf Sub 70, you should be able to find us and contact us. And I'm actually running those accounts, so I will get back to you as soon as I can. With that out of the way, as I mentioned, the podcast is going to be a completely separate sort of avenue and project for us. We think that we can provide some really great, creative, unique golf content. There's a handful of other people over the last 5 years that have really kind of stepped it up in this sort of little niche. We definitely like all of that content. But due to some of the connections we have in the industry and just some of our own personal experiences, whether it's playing, course design, travel, you know, those sort of things, we think we can provide some cool and interesting conversations that we hope people will enjoy. We do have a very exciting announcement. Our first interview will be with Mark Calcavecchia. If you don't know who Mark is, you were either living under a rock or were probably born in the mid-90s. Mark is a 13-time PGA Tour winner. He was a major player on a winning U.S. Ryder Cup team. He has had success on the tours in the 80s, 90s, and even into the 2000s. He's still a very relevant guy on the Champions Tour, and we are very excited to be having a one-on-one interview with Mark. If you have any feedback or suggestions, again, please reach out to me through social media. With that all out of the way, this first episode is a very lighthearted conversation between four of us. So myself, Jason Highland, Grant Goltz, and my brother, Ryan Armour, not the professional golfer, but a golfer. We all sat around a table, watched the tournament, had a couple drinks, and kind of just talked about the tournament itself. We kind of talked about some of the more interesting or memorable storylines from 2017 and also looked forward to 2018 and what we think might transpire or might be some very interesting storylines going forward. So without further ado, here's the conversation that we had. Feel free to reach out to us anytime. Hopefully you like it. Please subscribe, follow us on social media, and we will definitely keep pumping out as much of this content as we can.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I think there's a lot to talk about the Tournament of Champions. I mean, from your notes, you know, how much stuff you came up with, which was great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my particular focus was where Ryan Armour ended up.
Right. He started pretty good. He was pretty good for the first 18 holes.
I think it's a great story because, like, that dude had to grind that out. What was he, 10 or 12 years, and he only played the PGA Tour, like, two or three of them?
He was, yeah.
He's, like, 41 years old.
And, yeah. And to actually, like, get it done, because Ryan Armour, the attorney here, I would always send him how, you know, it's amazing you can be this great of an attorney and also, you know, be on the PGA Tour at the same time. So we've been, like, watching him for years.
Yeah, at least 4 or 5.
Right, and you're like, you know, he'd get a start every now and then on the PGA Tour and finish, like, T45 or missed cut.
I think he, like, this week, you know, he could do really well, though, because I saw something. It was, like, he had the second most birdie putts inside 20 feet behind DJ.
He had more.
More. So,
and he converted way less.
But yeah, he converted less, but this course sets up way better for him.
If the wind's up. Yeah. If the wind's up, that's where he's going to excel, because that's what he does.
Good,
strong,
flight.
solid iron player. So,
but how does he find? How does he find it at 41?
Well, he didn't find it. I don't know. He never went away. You know, he's always grinding out there. And
you got to give him all the credit in the world for just literally sticking with it and believing it. And like, but the win really wasn't that crazy in the sense that he's been playing. Because once again, Ryan Armour and myself here had been following him for months, and he's like trending the right way.
Yeah,
like he's,
when he won at Sanderson, it was the coldest and windiest tournament like in the history of the PGA Tour.
Right, he's
and
good
he
tough conditions.
Put his head down and whooped ass.
Yeah.
So he was kind of hot going into Hawaii, this tournament.
People, yeah, but what? Like, how is it that you can have a 20-year career in high-end, near professional or professional golf and never get a PGA Tour win, or never have a sustained career on the PGA Tour, and then at the age of 40, all of a sudden, come out. I mean, because 2017, it wasn't like he just had one win and that was it. He was up there for a few different runs.
Right, then he got his card through the web.com qualifying, I believe. So he kept his, we would have had his card for this year regardless of the late season win. So he's playing well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, his game doesn't look like anything's drastically different. He just sort of keeps it in play. Like Grant said, just he hits it on the green.
I mean, let's be honest. I'm getting close to 40, and I'm just getting fatter and slower. So
husky.
I don't know how that works, but
he beat Koepka by like 30 shots. injured Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
That. Why is he playing? I mean, obviously he's collecting the paycheck.
Oh, I didn't even hear about that part.
Yeah,
it's like he's got his wrist.
He's got his wrist is all messed up, but for 60, what's the last place? $60,000, $80,000. He can't need the money.
Well, let's be honest. They're in Hawaii.
He's hanging out. He's flying home though. Like he's not playing this weekend. Like in,
and then he was hacking at the Hero, right? I mean,
yeah, he came in last place in his last tournament.
This has been going on for a while. I'm surprised he would fly all the way over there to be that. You know, if he's not at 100%, even close to it, obviously. Mm-hmm. That golf course should set up really well for
him. He said that it feels like someone's like stabbing his hand through his entire swing. Not like at impact, but literally from the moment he starts taking the club back, he feels like someone's like stabbing him.
That sounds less than appealing.
I think he finished like 10 strokes behind DA points.
He didn't have a round under par, which is insane. He's got five par fives, get 20 chances out there.
Yeah, and the DJ's hitting it to 4 inches on par fours, and Brooks is slashing it all over the place.
I played out there. I mean, it's just wide open. So a guy who can bomb it and drive it straight, like Dustin Johnson, that golf course should have been. I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on because it made no sense for him to be, you know, that bad. But there must be something seriously wrong with his wrist.
And they said they can't figure out what it is. He said he's seen, like, multiple specialists and whatnot, and they have no clue. So he's just still playing.
So it's shut down for a while now.
Like a month, and then he's coming back in like Phoenix or something like that. Or maybe the Farmers. But
seems wise.
Yeah, it's crazy, though. I mean, like, what do you... He's playing, but now he's going to take the time off, so I don't understand why you played...
Grant, assuming he's healthy, how long do you see his career of being, say, a top 20, 30 player with as hard as he goes at it, that style of golf anymore? Do you see that for 10 years being up there?
Forever.
Forever.
Yeah. I mean, he's got pedigree. He was awesome at Florida State. Then he was awesome at when he went over to Europe and did his thing and kind of... Or was that his brother?
No, that's him. Yeah. His brother followed the same route he's doing.
Yeah, he's fine.
Him and Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all did the same
thing. The Euro guys, yeah.
Does his brother have his card on the European tour? Or is he kind of jumping around between the tours over in Asia?
Well, he played in like the Zurich, was it, the team event?
Yeah.
That he played in with his brother? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what he's doing now, if he's going back to Europe.
I thought I saw him on the Asian tour. I bet he's going to get some starts over here, Australasian tour, stuff like that, European tour. It probably follows his brother's footsteps.
I think he has European status. He got through that challenge tour.
Okay, so it's almost an easier route some way anymore without Q School to go through that, do it that direction.
Did anybody else feel like the greens at Kapalua looked like dog shit?
They were terrible.
But I give credit to the players for not just ripping it to shreds.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah,
and they were rolling like eight.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Get up the hole and just,
yeah.
They said on like I think on Saturday or Sunday they were rolling at a nine.
Yeah.
And they had posted something in the locker room early in the week that there was some kind of
contamination.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, you could see like those dark green patchy spots. Well,
14 was a
14 was the worst.
They had to patch greens in, right, just to make it playable.
Yeah. 14 was one you could tell they just you could find like two pins on that whole green.
Yeah, so it was bad. But
dudes just like kind of rolled with it, which is I was not expecting, because usually they're the first to just kind of, they'll never come out right and say they were shit, but they'll let their opinion be known. They didn't really do that this time.
Yeah, I would say just it being, you know, out in Hawaii, first tournament, no cut, you know.
And I don't think the greens are that old, because I played them, I played the course in 04, and I think they tore them up right after that. They were the grainiest, I mean... You want to see a bad putter putt bad. They were the grainiest greens I've ever seen in my life, plus the ocean effect, plus the island effect.
I mean, putting in Hawaii is a shit show anyways. It's ridiculous.
Mark Rolfing
will tell you where to putt it.
Yeah, yeah. If I had him on my bag.
Well, that's the thing. But there's like four people on Earth that know where to hit those things.
But I don't think those greens are that old. I think they tore them up because they were getting so grainy. I think maybe 10 or 12 years old is about it. They look terrible.
Yeah. Did not look good.
But are there any major thoughts on DJ besides that he's ridiculous?
He's
and yeah, I mean,
well, that's his joint there now. You know,
yeah,
won it before a couple times, and like I said, that just brought back memories of 13 with Paulina, white pants, black tank, aviators.
But then
she backed it up in 14 with like that yellow bikini where you see the 99 right by the badge. I mean, that was impressive.
Dude, marketing.
Speaking of, when he came off of 18
she
after winning,
she
was trying to get like a Twitter pic or something.
Yeah,
like Instagram.
She's like dicking around doing something
else.
Yeah,
he like pats
like,
her on the
butt.
He's like, hey, babe. She's like, oh, hey.
Hey, and then, do it twice.
Right. Yeah.
The double tap.
Still has it together, though. I'll give her that much for two kids. Wow. She's still looking good.
It's the business.
He's got so much talent, though. Then my other thing is thinking after this win, is he Hall of Fame right now with 17 and one major?
No. You got to get to 20 wins, so you get the lifetime exemption. I think is a minimum for me to get there.
Well, O'Meara's got, what, two majors and like 16? Freddie's in the Hall of Fame. He's got like...
Yeah, he's... 15
and one?
DJ, they were showing the numbers, and he's close to passing a couple guys.
He's close.
He's passed.
Freddie's only got 15 wins.
I think it's like 15 or 16 wins.
Norman only has like 20. 18, right?
He's got 20.
20?
Yeah, it's 1,000.
But he's got, his European Tour victory and stuff's crazy.
That's true.
I think he's
close. Well, I'm sure if we sent DJ to Europe, he'd probably bag some, trophies for us.
The Portugal Masters or something like that would be in his wheelhouse at Wickerson.
Yeah, I think so.
The tournament they have in Russia, St. Petersburg.
I'm willing to go ahead and make the prediction that after 2018, DJ will be a Hall of Fame lock.
I mean, yeah,
he's gonna win a fucking major.
Yeah, 11 years in a row with a win. That's Tiger and Jack are the only people ever do that. Like he's a Hall of Famer, but it ain't all the way fleshed out yet.
His game has gotten so much better since he got rid of the hook and went to the cut, where he can just hit that.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and the wedge game got better.
We talked about it yesterday. Like on 18 on Sunday, DJ gets on the tee, and you know he's kind of just coasting it in. and he hits driver, 184 mile an hour ball speed, big fade, like perfectly hit, and he's just kind of like sauntering around.
Yeah.
I mean, just on cruise control. Like, it's just unbelievable. And then
but he looks like that on Thursday too, you know.
Yeah, it's true. He's like the most effortless player on earth.
Well, it's also crazy, like when he wants that next gear. I mean, everyone's talking about that drive he hit, and it was perfect. But I mean, you can just tell when he wants to ramp it up and get 10 or 15 more, 20 more yards, he's just got that next level. And the talent is just amazing. He's just an incredible athlete, basically, who's decided to play golf. And, you know, he's going to wind up, if he stays healthy and stays motivated.
Well, I think that's
30 wins.
That's a big question, though. I mean, his rep, at least, and I'll grant you the fact that the golf media gets like two storylines for every player, and they just get repeated over and over again.
Did you know that DJ can dunk a basketball?
Barefoot.
Yeah. Did you know that he spent last year's offseason hitting wedge shots on a launch monitor?
Trackman.
But, you know, part of the story on DJ before he hit this sweet spot was that he didn't really want to work that hard. So, at some point, do you have to question whether once he has some sustained level of success, his kids get a little older, whatever, he starts to lose that interest again?
I don't think so.
You don't think he goes Davis Love the Third on you when he gets to a certain level and he's just not going to put the effort in anymore to be
the great one? Won't let him
when he's when he's going.
Wayne's not going to let him. But that's to take it off
when he's going downtown and sees that 99 tattoo every single time.
That's right.
That gets in your head. But you know, Wayne Gretzky actually, I think he has been good for him.
Oh, for sure.
How could it not be?
Just but that's changed him.
Yeah, I agree.
But no, that boy's going to keep winning. He ain't going to ever fade out, I don't think.
Well. And here's another thing. I find it weird that in my own mind, after, you know, we all sort of came up in Tiger's era, right?
Prime, yeah.
So, like, in my mind, to a certain degree, the best golfer in the world should have this aura of, like, intimidation and insanity. And DJ does not have that at all.
Intimidation?
Maybe, but based on distance and whatever, like it doesn't—he doesn't come across like he's staring guys down.
But the shots he hits, there's some golf shots where other tour players go, "I ain't got that one."
But I know what you're saying. He's not Patrick Reed.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not like gonna yell at you in the Ryder Cup.
I think it's more intimidating than Patrick Reed.
But yeah. It's the like the more the attitude, the personality, the. You know,
Tiger would stare dudes down. Like, people were afraid of Tiger.
Stand behind him while they're putting, just like putting the heat on him.
DJ doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
No, he wouldn't do that. But like, even after he hit that drive on 14, whoever the analyst was on Golf Channel said he had like 50 tweets from tour players saying, "What the fuck was that?"
Oh, Byron said that.
Yeah, and I'm sure Brian Harman was like, "Fuck, whatever."
All my buddies are right now saying, "No, never seen anything like that. Yeah. I ain't got that. Couldn't do that. Whatever." That's tour pro saying that, so that's intimidating in itself. But no,
for sure.
But they're also, those dudes grew up not being afraid. Because Tiger taught him not to be afraid. So
it's true.
There ain't anybody in the top 5 or 10 in the world that's be afraid of anybody.
That's a good point.
They all came out ready to kill.
Right.
Yeah.
And they learned that from one dude, like you said.
Yeah, you know, when you talk to or you listen, shouldn't say talk to, but when you listen to some of those guys, they had to kind of learn to be on tour, right? You sort of went through Q school in 1980, then you kept your card and you hung out with guys who got to be taught you to be a better player. These kids coming out now from seeing what Tiger did. You know, watch like Tom Lovelady this year. I think he could be really, really good. They're just, these kids come out of these programs like Alabama and, or, you know, Oklahoma State, they're ready to go. And there is no intimidation. They're long. They play aggressive golf. And I don't see them being intimidated by much of anything anymore. But like, I agree, it's the Tiger effect 20 years later that this is how these guys play. And they don't try to make cuts. They try to win.
Right.
You know, and it's actually statistically, I think, a better way to play. Of, you're better off to be aggressive. If you miss a couple cuts, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You're better off to take the high finishes. So next, play aggressive.
Next question.
Does anyone need a beer?
That's a good question.
That is a great question.
Coors Light, please. Good.
If DJ is playing his best, can anyone on tour beat him?
No.
Because, and the reason I bring it up is because of the Spieth DJ playoff from last year, where Spieth's got to lay it out to the right and DJ goes over the pond.
Well, I'd always said, if you'd asked me up until last year, but I think it's coming back, Rory's highest gear is better than anybody's highest gear.
Right.
But I don't know that anymore.
Yeah, you know? It's hard to say because when was the last time you saw Rory really clicking at all? You know,
so true. 2 years ago or 3 years ago when he was,
yeah.
When that boy got going, nobody had a chance.
Right. I mean, he drove the ball so well. It was, I mean, then when he was putting well, I mean, it was just.
His putting is just so.
Well, that's what DJ's doing right now. Really well, too. I mean, he's putting the ball pretty darn. I mean, take away the greens from Hawaii because they're tough. And I know his stats were kind of goofy in the sense that he didn't make much outside of 10 feet, but he had a lot of five.
He never hit it there.
Exactly.
They showed something on like Sunday. He only had like a handful of putts from like between 15 and 20 feet. So like everything was like basically 10 feet and in, or, you know, he was putting eagle putts from
6 2 putt. Birdies,
yeah,
right, and some of his par fours were ship. I mean, the 5 feet and he's made his 5 feet, are, you know, 5 feet, 4 feet, 3 foot putts were really solid. I would say though, it depends on what the golf course is, right? Like, is he beatable on what's? I mean, if Spieth is playing really well with the middle long iron or middle short irons and putting it great, but the distance from DJ is not that big of an advantage, I think Spieth under the right circumstances, if he's really hot with his irons. Assuming he's driving it well, can play with him.
But his highest gear is nowhere near.
Right.
The ability to go that low and dominate something,
like,
I think.
On any golf course, really. I mean, like, one place I think Spieth has a major advantage over everybody is at Augusta. But I feel like if DJ comes out like he played this week at Augusta, he's going to destroy everyone.
Yeah, he'd be the odds-on favorite.
Right.
Well, he wasn't last year going into it.
Maybe I just...
P.S.
Four in a row going into it.
This doesn't need to make the air, but he didn't fall down the fucking stairs. Like, that much I know.
This should make the air. You want this to be...
I think he actually did fall, didn't he?
Well...
No.
Word on the deep street would be the plan. Word on the deep street is... he got caught fucking around with Rom's big-titted blonde girlfriend.
Nice.
Really? Allegedly.
Yeah. And that's what all kind of...
I would love a Rom DJ.
But then that's, you know, I saw him playing the other day and they were cool.
Yeah, Rom was all complimentary.
I don't buy that one.
There was word out there. That's what it was.
I've been hearing from, like, whatever random sources that... Not that I have any sources of my own, just like
your internet, basically. Your imaginary friends.
That it wasn't the stairs that fucking caused him not to play.
Well,
there's always going to be speculation.
No, it wasn't speculation. That's true. No, but the wave runner thing, right? Didn't he throw his, I'm putting quotes up in the air like somebody can see him. Didn't the wave runner thing that he hurt his back also, wasn't that a few years ago
he's
too?
He's got just the history of... Yeah.
I don't think Rom would be... Rom seems like a guy you would not want to mess with. I can't see that story being true if...
Dude, can we talk about the fact that Rom has, like, the most junk in the trunk of any fucking touring
pro? He's a big boy.
He's got an ass and some legs on him.
Which really, really helps.
Man, I cannot blame DJ for that.
Watch!
Wow.
Kelly Cahill.
That photo will be on the Twitter post for this podcast.
Sure. John Rahm's got a great golf body. He's like 6'2", 225.
Yeah.
He does.
He's built like a linebacker.
He's built like Golds.
And he should never get like ripped with muscle.
No, but he never has been. Nope. If you look at him when he was an amateur, he always had
he's just
gut
thick and inflexible. Like, he's strong as an ox. And like the tour advisor, not liking the tour advisor.
This is a shock. You never want anything like that.
I vote nay for the visor.
I like the visor, but he's got to get flow, and he's got thick enough hair to get the flow.
He looks like the Fonz or something, dude. I don't know. It's not a good look.
You don't even if he had flow.
He looks like he looks too much like a
Pat Perez or Ben Crenshaw hair flow.
He's a big dude.
A video game character.
He needs a hat
or something.
Some coverage.
He did look. He looked good with the straight. You know, the
flat brim.
Yeah, the flat. That was fine, but...
Right, when he's draining eagle putts at
Charlie Hoffman,
Torrey Pines. Like, just keep going with that.
I'm still staying, though. I don't mind the visor on him.
It's just a surprise.
Chris is shocked.
Yeah, he's like, noticing
what? Why, Rob? I don't understand.
It's a new leaf form this year.
So, anybody have any interesting thoughts on... Bones coming back to carry JT's bag for, I don't know, is it just this week, I think? And also pull double duty with his Golf Channel responsibilities.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's doing JT, and then as soon as he gets off the bag, he's going out on the course.
Wow.
Which is...
That's commitment.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, Grant's the best player.
Double G?
How hard would it be for someone to not be on your bag, say you're playing the high-end event like you play in whatever, just grab the bag then in two practice rounds. Can he dial a guy like that? Could somebody dial Bones? You in? Even without being around it that much?
But he's been watching him for seven events. You know, he was out there following him at Conway when they had the BMW, you know, over in Chicago. He knows what's up with his game. He's on the range. He sees these guys. It's nothing to be... He saw him at Ryder Cubs. He's seen him at President's Cup. Right. He knows his game.
You don't think it'd be a problem of just jumping in there and try to say, is it in a windy day, is it a 6-iron or a 7-iron, which shot you see?
When's the last time Phil played the Sony?
I think it doesn't. He doesn't go to Hawaii.
He never went to a tour championship.
He didn't like it.
So has Bones ever
he's been
hooked on this course?
It's pretty straightforward, at least, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
the course.
It is. It's golden age architecture.
Flat.
You know, kind of flat and just meanders. A lot of bigger trees now, but Doak's cleaned it up a little bit, too.
As far as, I guess, jumping on a bag for any course, it's...
Shout out to Andy
except
Johnson.
It's windy.
Yeah. The yoke with Doak.
Yeah, that was actually
part three.
And then, JT won there last year, 59. It's not like he needs somebody to shepherd him around.
Yeah, true. That's a very good point.
What do I hit here? You know, it'd be all right.
Yeah.
I don't know. So,
but it's a crazy feel.
Well, so JT's guy's got plantar fasciitis.
Yep.
I've had
the Joakim Noah.
I was just going to say that. So, for those of you Noah. Who are not familiar with the fact that we all are in close to Chicago right now, if it goes down like it did for Joakim, it's a career ending injury.
Hey, I recovered from it.
Despite the fact that Joakim continued to play.
Is he out of the league?
No, he's still in the Knicks.
He's getting paid like $20 million a year on the Knicks.
He's always like in and out of the...
And Derrick Rose left town.
Is his foot still killing him?
Who knows? Yeah, I don't think he plays like at all anymore. I mean, he just kind of collects a check.
I'll tell you from having it, though, it hurts like a son of a bitch.
Sure. Yeah, it's so this is my next question is... I'm sorry, what's JT's caddy's name?
Jimmy Johnson.
There you go. I should know that. That's a pretty easy one to remember.
Yeah. Steve Stricker's caddy.
Yep.
Is he coming back?
He said he's out for a month. That's the.
And if he does come back, is he back for good?
I would assume so. They seem pretty tight.
Yeah. No. I think Bones has taken this TV gig's pretty good.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were going to say he's taking the bag over. I was like,
I don't see that.
Listen, I'm just going to say this. As illustrated by 10 years in the booth and John Gruden.
Never say never.
Once a dude that's on the course, always a dude that's on the course. I'm not saying that JT's leaving Jimmy Johnson or that Jimmy Johnson's not coming back. I'm just saying I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, clearly JT is a generational golfer, and Bones, I'm sure, if it offered the opportunity, would have to think long and hard about whether he
wanted. I think he could work for 10 tour pros tomorrow if he wanted to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think he could do it.
I don't think he's going to be the guy.
Not at 50.
I don't think Justin Thomas is going to be the guy, but I do think he'll get on.
Because
when
he'll
let
come back.
When they let him go last year, when they broke up, you know, they kind of said he'll hook up with some young guy. And
right.
You don't think the TV gig was one of the reasons why they broke up?
No, I think he pissed off at Aaron Hills when Phil's like, you go up there, chart the course, get your ass ready, and then if my daughter's graduation falls through, maybe I'll play. And I think really that was the last time, you know, Bones like, you know what, fuck you. That's enough of this shit. So I really firmly believe that. He'd been run around ragged for 21 years. He had somebody had the comment, another thing, playing golf and courses. Somebody asked Bones, like, what was it like working for Phil? And he said, how would you like to work for somebody for 25 years that was never wrong?
Pretty much says it all, I guess.
That's the gig, though. But Jimmy, I think Jimmy Johnson's an absolute world-class cat.
Yeah.
And he works well with Justin Thomas, I was last year. I mean, it's not like... You know, Justin's got me on his bag, and hey, Bones is available. Like, I think Jimmy Johnson is viewed as one of the top caddies out there, and has been for a long time.
Yeah,
and the quality of guys he's worked for, I don't know. Also, I went with Bones, you know, health. What, two knee replacements at the same time? He's 50 years old. Like you said, that lifestyle, the effort, the time those caddies put in anymore. Is that something he wants to do? Or, like I said, walking around like Roger Maltby for the next 20 years.
I couldn't believe he sent him up there in Hills.
Oh, I know.
He wasn't going to make it.
Never.
Wait, what was the point? Yeah. Like, when I found out he was there, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Why? What's the point of that? Why send him up there, put him through all that, and then everybody's, I don't know.
He's pretty good on the air, though. Like, I like his commentary.
Yeah.
Minus the, you know, like the on-course stuff he's really good at. And that job takes a little bit to get, you know, really good at it. Doesn't seem like there's too many guys who go on to commentating or on the ground who get it immediately. Like, it takes a learning curve over a year.
Yeah, there's definitely a learning curve. And then obviously, like, if you're going to put a guy out there that has, like, the respect of all of the current players and caddies, like, there's no one else you could put above him.
Yeah.
It's perfect. He just slides right in there. You know the caddies and players are helping him out as far as, like, information and stuff like that. And plus, he knows everything. I mean, he's played, you know, he's caddied at all these courses.
Seen every scenario.
Right.
I mean, that's where I think his
and like Grant said, he's been put through the ringer by, you know, one of the probably most demanding guys that there is. So, on a lighthearted note, did you guys see Duffner's hats at the tournament?
Hilarious.
I didn't see what the Sunday one was.
Notorious B.I.G.
Was Sunday the Biggie one?
No, yeah, was that Sunday hit the bank? So?
It's just a black low-profile hat. I never really get a shot.
It had the Biggie logo on it. Smalls logo.
I love the Biggie Duffner hat. Yeah, so he had like the Biggie hat, the camo Blue Jays hat, and then he was
American
wearing
flag.
A couple surf company hats, some surfing.
I don't know how a dude like that can't just always have perpetual deals.
Yeah.
You know, 2-year Vineyard of Vines deal. I thought that one fit him well. You know,
that was good.
He did. He looked good.
He's got the belly going again.
He's playing better, too.
I know.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier in the week. He was bad skinny. Yeah, I mean, he was. It's like when Carl Peterson lost all that weight, he was bad. Like, I think if you get used to playing golf with the gut, then you lose the gut.
He's got, like, that skinny lower body, though, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, he literally has just, like, this little bag belly. Yeah, it's
skinny
amazing.
Skinny upper body, skinny lower body.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right in the middle. It's so awesome.
It works for him.
I'm working on the same look, so.
Do we miss Amanda, though?
Fuck, I said he lost 220 pounds. You know, he lost her.
Yeah.
And his gut.
He lost her at 110. He lost another 110 or whatever.
I do miss those Instagram pictures, though.
That was a good deal for him, though.
She's still out there.
Is she?
Oh, yeah. She's posting everything.
That really? Split wasn't bad. Yeah.
She's no, hell no.
It was a good deal. They gave her like the house and like a million bucks or something like that. Yeah,
she's going to do just fine for herself.
Dawn, everybody's happy.
That was prenup though, right?
I don't know. I think it was negotiated.
Yeah. Jesus, if it was.
It was over quick though.
Yeah, so, you know. You gave her like a $1 million house and like $1 million or $2 million cash and that was it. Mm-hmm. I'm out.
She looked good on the driving range in that bikini though.
Yeah.
Got to give her credit there. But you got to love Duffner. Like, I just love like wearing the Biggie Smalls hat.
You know, it's so cool. Like, yeah. If I was in that position and I didn't, hell yeah, I'd be capitalizing on wearing, you know, some cool stuff that I thought would be.
You think he'll do a
club? I'd be trying to get paid.
Hold on. Well, true, but if you weren't getting paid, you know.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, that on the Hawaii swing, they do those Hawaii commercials. So the newest one this year is the Tony Finau one.
With the baby.
Exactly.
I don't see it.
Do you remember the Duffner one? Where him and Amanda like went on a hike.
Oh, dude, he's like amazed by everything. He goes on like a nature hike.
It's like he's stoned out of his mind for the whole thing. It was awesome. Definitely top notch.
They go to like a waterfall. Yes. They go hiking through the Hawaiian rainforest. Yeah. And he's just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Cool.
Dude.
I also miss that. Wearing his Cleveland or whatever his sea head.
Yeah, that also, that when they used to go on their vacations and post all those photos where he's like next to her with like no shirt on. He's got this like big old belly out and she just looks flawlessly perfect. It's like so Duffner. It was perfect.
Living the dream, man.
That's all I got on Tournament of Champions. I don't know if there's any other.
The new sponsor this year.
Century.
They did that right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They signed the tournament. Century too. World. Yeah, man. Yeah.
The signage looked great.
But that's new. Like Euro Tour stuff, they've been putting signs everywhere, you know, like on the green and in the camera angle, in the view. I'd never really noticed it that much until this tournament.
Now that you mentioned the sponsor, though, I do have one more comment that I thought of and never jotted down or anything. But the first couple of days, I know it was, like, really windy, but the pace of play was, like, horrendous. And there kept being these backups on tee boxes where there was, like, two groups waiting. It happened on Sunday when there was, like, three groups on 18, basically, like, tee.
Yeah.
It's, like, I understand it's windy, but it's a small field, and the course is pretty wide open. And obviously there's tricky shots because of the wind and the elevation and all that. But I was, like, it's so brutal for these guys. I feel like they have to just be like, they're in Hawaii. It's a great tournament. They're getting there's a lot of money at stake. But man, like pace of play is bad in like a 30 guy tournament.
Yeah, par five. It's reachable in two.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, everything's reachable, I guess, which is part of the problem. When DJ's driving par fours, like,
well, we figured Century must be into golf because the redo that they did in that golf course. I know Grant and I were on a trip and we looked up. you know, how much money they made a year off the insurance business, because we were trying to figure out how much this renovation cost. So if anyone has not played Century World up in Stevens Point, it's absolutely fantastic. But I think it was like $8-10 million renovation.
Yeah, it's all that. They built new holes, 3 or 4 new holes, got rid of some. Clubhouse is probably $20 million, but that's one day's interest.
Yeah, we looked at the profit they made for the year, and it's like, okay, I can see where the CEO goes, boys, I would like to have a new, a better golf course attached to world headquarters. I think, didn't we see the CEO there too, golfing, said hi to us?
Yeah.
So he's obviously into it. It's actually, I think it's a really good fit for that company, and I thought they did a good job of presenting it. Like I said, this, I didn't notice the sign until you texted me, and I was like, you're right, like every shot they had, centuries. I mean, hey, yeah. If you're paying for it, you might as well get your name out there. But
and they were without a sponsor too. That was like 11th hour thing getting them in there.
How many years is that?
5 years.
Five.
Yeah.
Well, they're obviously the CEO is a golf nut because he did a hell of a good job and probably half orchestrating that redo up there. So if you've not played Century World, go up there and play it. It's fantastic.
Anything else on Tournament of Champions?
Did anybody see DJ's like amazing? On 16 or 17? Somebody yelled in the middle of Ricky's backswing on a putt.
No.
See that or no?
I made a note of something on like Thursday too, where somebody was hitting a tee shot, and you get like the mashed potatoes yell. And I was literally sitting there on my couch. It was like sub zero here, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, "You went to Hawaii. There's hardly anybody at this tournament." Whatever. If it's a local, fine. I don't know. I don't think that there's a lot of like idiot 25-year-olds. Maybe there are.
Hanging out at the Ritz-Carlton at that portion of Maui.
But, I mean, like, I was thinking maybe that was one of the tournaments where that shit wouldn't be going on, but that lasted all like half an hour before
it's brutal.
Well, since you just brought up John Houston, do we have to bring it up now?
We can talk about it.
We have to.
We can talk about it.
We did our interview with podcast interview with Mark Calcavecchia, and when you hear it, I asked him a question about, you know, what's the best group to go gamble with on a practice round, basically I'm paraphrasing the question. One, I won't give away all of it, but one of them is like, out of nowhere, is John Houston. And I had no idea that Johnny Ray Houston apparently is known for being like the toughest dude in the world. The
godfather of the Tuesday money game.
Yeah, and like he doesn't lose, and Mickelson would take him as a partner all the time, so I want to get John Houston on the podcast. Basically, like, you know, he's got a nice career, 7 wins, but
Orbis underground, underground Tuesday.
Yeah, like what's the craziest stories that ever happened out of that? And I had no idea Johnny Ray Houston was like that tough.
Grant is saying there's no way it's gonna happen.
He's shaking his head at me like,
no, Island's gonna go.
He's not on social media anywhere. I reached out to a couple people. I'm like, how do I get a hold of John Houston?
And he's literally taking money off of people at a range in Texas.
He's still playing the Champions Tour. I saw he played like 18 events last year.
We'll track him down.
We'll find him
at Exmoor.
Just ask him there at that point when he's here. So if anyone knows how to get a hold of John Houston, I would love to ask him about his reputation of being that good under the gun. What was the quote? If you had to play for your own money on the PGA Tour, he'd be number one on the money list. Somebody said that in one of the articles I was reading earlier, so I think that'd be fascinating. John Houston.
Highland wants to get
John Houston, if you're listening, track us, you know, give us a call.
All right.
Hit us up on Twitter.
It's Golf Sub-70.
Yeah, yell. I could care less. Just give me a half hour on the Tuesday money games.
So 2018, I guess the easiest thing to start with would be like the majors, right? So obviously you got Augusta, Shinnecock, Carnoustie. Right?
Yeah.
And
Belle Reve.
That's
a pretty sick lineup, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's phenomenal.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Belle Reve.
Have you
played
Belle Reve?
I have.
Have they redone that since the last major there?
Reese Jones?
Last major there was like 1960.
20 years ago, right? No, Nick Price won a...
Yeah, it's been redone since then. But they were supposed to have the Tour Championship there, I think, in 2001.
They had like the 11. BMW or something there.
Yeah, it was like September 11th, so they got it was canceled. But I think they had a Western there, 7 or 8 years ago. Or
I don't know. I've seen the name, but know nothing about it.
You played it. What's it?
It's awesome. It's just a good Southern style tree line Parkland ball breaker.
That's cool.
It's a great course.
So it'll be 6, 7, 8 under par type golf course.
12.
It'll be that low still.
Yeah. Only thing is St. Louis in August. It's going to be like 90 degrees with 108% humidity.
Was it narrow or is it a big boy course with some width?
No, it's not too narrow. It's playable. It's just a good championship-style golf course, and I'm glad it's there. It's good exposure. It's a good one to add to the you know, mix for PGA, especially because you might be able to play that one in April or May when they make the change.
I think it's going to May permanently. You could probably play that in May, or is it still too, like, is it iffy weather down there still?
No.
It'll be all right.
Beautiful weather in May.
Yeah, it'll probably be awesome. Yeah.
Played down there in the southern part of the state quite a bit, and but it might be spongy, might be a little wet. So
Rory will win it.
Yeah, I was going to bring Rory up. So we were talking about him earlier, but obviously every year now it's going to be the Masters for Rory's slam, right? Yep. What are the expectations? Because he hasn't really been seen since what?
How do you know?
Right? I don't know.
Yeah.
What's he doing? I mean, like, of course, I'm sure if you look into it, it's all going to be promising and, you know.
He's got to putt it better, and his short game has to be better, to
I agree. Watching that guy is, like, incredibly frustrating just because he hits the ball so well off the tee. His, like, long and mid irons are great. And then everything else, it's just kind of like, ugh.
Is it getting worse, too? Like, is his
everything? I think his putting has gotten worse. Right? I mean, how many putters did he use last year?
At the Hartford, I think.
Are we imagining it? I don't have the stats in front of me. I wonder what his stats look like from strokes gained putting. And
yeah, I don't have them. I don't know either. I'm not.
It's also hard to judge because he was so off and on last year with that injury that lagged. So, right, he's never fully practicing. He's never fully doing.
Yeah, I don't think I have any sort of feel for, like, how he's going to play at all.
I don't think anybody does.
And I feel like for the last year or even maybe year and a half, it's just been kind of...
Well, where did he finish at the Open? Like, he was somewhere in the top 15, right?
No. U.S. Open?
No, the Open Championship. Oh.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Which is now called...
I was on a golf trip that weekend.
I'm confused about the name of the British Open, PS.
The Open Championship.
Well, but I thought they dropped the championship now. It's just the Open.
Not officially.
I just call it the Open.
You can't call it the British Open, though.
No, I agree.
Yeah, no.
So it's either the Open Championship or the Open. I think it's the Open.
I'm cool.
That's what I call it.
But whatever. Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway.
But the talent is still there.
At the Open, right? I'm pretty sure he finished...
Well, that's what I mean. The talent is there for him if he gets it going. The question is, can he sustain... Putting, can he sustain basically from 150 yards, 125 yards and in for 4 days anymore consistently? And that's the part that seems like it goes at times.
Yeah. And if you're talking about him.
Yeah, man, Rory. Rory finished T4.
Yeah.
So
he was up there. So if you're talking about Rory.
I'm talking about that in the Masters.
Well, that's four days. So if you're talking about the probability of him completing the career Grand Slam, and you're talking about him playing at Augusta, and we're talking about the fact that his short game is fucking brutal.
Why wouldn't go that far with it?
I'm just saying it's not armor.
Okay, he finished T4 at the Open. I'm not saying he's
lost. He's not yipping.
Whatever. I'm saying, of all the majors and what they test, at a certain point, Augusta tests your short game.
For sure.
One of the major, major qualities of Augusta, and part of the reason why a guy like Jordan Spieth can be a perennial favorite there is because you don't have to be able to hit huge bombs all the time. If you can get it up and down, you got a shot.
Well, more than that, too, it's also how well...
It depends on conditions.
Yeah,
totally true.
And Spieth is really good with
mid-irons. When Zach Johnson wins the Masters, there's a reason why that happens.
Well, that was a weird year.
My point is, that may be the toughest one for Rory to win, given the current state of his game.
But he's been there so close, you know.
The course suits his eye.
Last time he was close, he drove it into the fucking houses on 10.
After the ninth hole, he went to Butler.
But he was there. He's been there before.
And the golf course has to suit his eye. He plays a little draw, and there's a lot of holes where that little draw will work really, really well, like the lefties playing the fade. So,
for real, though, what year was that Rory was winning it after 9 on Sunday?
Probably like
that was
2011, I think.
Somewhere right around there. He'll win one. I think he'll win one. The talent is too high. He'll eventually.
I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure he will.
Spieth is always there, I think, because of the way he's not the greatest driver in the world. It's adequate. He's such a good iron player, and the stats back that up. And his chipping and putting, he can just work himself around that golf course. And he'll be right there.
It's been unbelievable to me what he's done in the last 3 years there.
To be that consistent for 3 years
Spieth
in a row.
I've always got no business getting around that golf course like that.
And he does.
But
it's so crazy, yeah. I mean, it's not like he built up to that.
No.
Like, all of a sudden it was like, yeah, I'm the best golfer at this golf course, like, every year.
Yeah.
And I might not, you know.
Yeah, on paper you wouldn't bet it, right? Like, on paper you don't, you see his game of.
No. I'm like, taking the big lefties that can hit huge high freaking fades or whatever.
He's good, man. He's just got that. Spieth's got that inner quality that he's just can get the ball in the hole. He's tough under pressure, and he can play. And he's
Bubba's off the Volvic train now. Is he going to win this year?
Oh my God. Going back to Spieth, though, like, his body language in Hawaii was
bad.
Oh God,
real bad.
And I caught him in person at Conway at the BMW. Horrible. And really? It's getting worse. And like,
that's not good.
I can't even stand to watch
the pouty sort of like.
Yeah. Well, I do the same thing.
Woe is me.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. I mean, I watched basically all the coverage on Thursday when he didn't play very well. Yeah. And it was like, seriously, it was just kind of like he was going through the motions and then acting like frustrated about every stupid little thing that didn't go perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, just like, I don't know. It does get a little bit like he's dragging his feet and kind of just acting pouty about it.
Then he
everything.
Has a round like that, then once you shoot the next day, like,
he's 67 under.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's still being a little bitch during it. So.
Right.
I feel where he's coming from. I'm the king of complaining on the
golf
course.
We're talking about the same dude.
I do the same thing.
That hit it 180 yards right on whatever it was, 14 at the Open.
He played out of that dude's backyard.
I'm going back to the driving range.
How's that out of bounds?
The backyard shot.
I don't know.
It's already he flubbed it into the bunker.
No, anyway. But my point is, despite his maybe pouty demeanor at times, the Open Championship last year was a pretty clear and definitive statement of him fucking putting his nose to the grindstone and doing what he had to do to win.
Mentally, he's better than anyone.
Yeah.
You know, he can will it in there like guys can't do. You know, he's built different for that. And he's actually, his physical skills have caught up to that. Right. He's always had that in mind.
Well, but that's kind of the opposite of what you guys are saying, which is that he's being a little bitch on the course, right? Like,
I'm not saying he's not, like, determined or has, like, the willpower to, like, work through adversity. I'm just saying, like, when you're watching him sometimes, like, his demeanor and his sort of, like, outward projecting of his like thoughts or attitude is just kind of like,
you think it's just
understand everybody has bad breaks, like putts lip out or things don't break as much as you think they're going to, but you don't have to basically like turn to Michael and go, just come on.
He's a little prick 12-year-old at the country club is what he looks like.
Yeah, it's just kind of like,
he has to do that to get it out. Like, is that his way?
Which is fine. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if people watched me golf, they'd be like, that guy's a douchebag. But
yeah, it's not just golf. It's pretty much everything you do that people think that. It's not just
golf. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Just life in general for you, Jim.
Dude.
Yeah.
Equally true is how ridiculous it is that we used to watch Tiger talk about himself in the third person when he hit a bad shot.
Come on, Tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it.
So that guy wasn't exactly a beacon of awesome body language a lot of the time too.
But Tiger would just get it out, and it was the Curtis Strange where he would just get it over with.
But it was a burst of anger. It wasn't like a whiny,
right.
Oh man, like, what is that? Me. Oh, you know.
No, it's a perfect wall. But since we're on majors and talking about Rory, wouldn't you say, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth here, Grant, but Bell Reeves got to set up well if it's wet, right? If the ball's not rolling, the fairway's a ride, as well as he drives it. I mean, he's got the game for like a PGA. PGA Championship seemed to have this
Rory's
system. Yeah, it's a sweet spot, right? I mean, a big boy golf course with soft fairways. You have to hit the ball high. If you're saying it's playing like that.
It'll set up for him.
There's your next major for him, probably more than likely. He had more than the other ones, wouldn't you agree? Ball strikers golf. Is it a ball striker golf course as well, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say. You know, like I said, it's just a big, nice, big greens, deep white bunkers. You know, it's just Robert Trent Jones Sr. It's like his template. Big trees, big dog legs, big ravines,
big time
big
second
ponds.
Shot.
Yeah.
Greens elevated.
Yeah.
A lot of them up. Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be perfect for him.
Yeah.
Carnoustie, I mean,
you never know.
You never know. I mean, it's what weather do you get?
Right.
Yeah, Kelk's going to play in it.
Let's go.
But That's one of the tougher ones in the rotation. And if you get a bad, draw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's always the situation, right? Like, so they have it at the old course, which obviously isn't known to be as much of a ball buster as Carnoustie is. But if the wind's down, people shoot 20 under. But if the wind's up, they shoot 3 under.
Well, they're not going to shoot 20 under if there's no wind at Carnoustie.
Dude, I don't know. We were there last May, and the weather was not bad after the first four holes. And it's
gettable.
For sure.
The last three holes.
With my amateur golf opinion.
Right.
It's totally gettable.
The last three or four holes are difficult. 16, the par 3, is a son of a bitch of a par 3. And 17 is also a disaster waiting to happen.
But if weather comes in.
As evidenced by my fairway to gorse to gorse to gorse.
That's a pocket.
Did you just take your six?
The most I can post to the double.
Yeah. No, I think my dad chipped it out of the gorse to 7 feet. And I had a putt for double, and I was 10 feet away, and I was good. He was all day.
What sets up for Shinnecock then? I mean, assuming they don't get it out of control, where it's not playing a pool table. And
if the answer, an answer other than DJ.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, is there an answer other than DJ? Brooks?
I mean, there has to be.
Granted, they done renovations to that as well.
They pinched it in
a little bit.
After Aaron Hills, they came in and brought fairways in 2 or 3 feet on each side. There's a real cool visual. You can see where the grass is different on what it was for member play and everyday play versus what they did to it.
You don't like the change they made?
No. It's taken away from the character of the course. Some of those edges of the fairway are you can use those. And now it's gone. It's just pinched. You can use those contours. You can position the ball correctly. And now it's just pinched to a middle.
So what do they do with those contours? And they just going to have a first cut of rough on that then or something? So they're just... But it's going to be enough rough where you can't bound it off the contour. It's just going to sit in there.
Oh, you're in it and you're dead.
So they just don't want 17 under par there again.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I can't picture what kind of play. I mean, that can go either direction. I don't think there's one dominant kind of... I'm trying to think of the guys who've always contended out there. I mean, did Cabrera win there?
No, Retief Goosen and Corey Pavin.
Okay, that's right. Well, Goosen, that was just a putting contest, if I remember, at the end, right? Because it was basically damn near unplayable. Yeah. Was that when it got nutty? And Pavin, I mean, that's a generation ago, so that was 95. Was that with Cleveland VAS Irons, too?
Yeah.
I believe it was. Those purple... Yeah. Ohazo, Cleveland VAS Irons won a major championship.
Like a on there in the ass hazel.
Bring them back.
Yep.
Bring them back.
Five wood, right? Five wood on the 18th Corey Pavin. If you would have bet me those things were going to win a major, I would have lost the money.
Oh,
dating myself. But well, no, that could be an interesting, it's a great golf course. I just don't know if, you could have a wide variety
of majors.
Players.
Should be awesome. I mean, they're setting up to be. Yeah. And obviously, with the quality of players spilling over from last year, you get a full year of Patrick Cantlay and Rahm.
Yeah.
How impressive is Cantlay?
Sick, man. He's awesome.
But he was born for it, too.
Good guy.
Best amateur ever, and you see your best friend get killed in front of your eyes.
Brutal,
like, taken, your back's broken.
I just didn't know if he
would. I never think he'd come back.
That's what I meant. I didn't know if he'd come back.
I don't know if anyone did. I think it got to the point where it was kind of this story of how, it just fell apart, and it was kind of almost over.
That just shows, and I agree with Grant, that talent, that level of talent he has, working through everything. I mean, you can just see it. I love his golf swing. I absolutely love his golf swing. I like his demeanor. I wouldn't be shocked to see him.
I want him Ryder Cup, man.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to go deep this year, but I mean, you saw how many FedEx Cup points or whatever he got last year in 10 starts or something
13 or 12 starts or something crazy
Baker's dozen starts, and he was in... He made it to the Tour Championship, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, it'll be fun to follow that. The majors will be good, and then obviously the Ryder Cup, which we're talking about.
And also with the Ryder Cup, too, the Europeans got some good young players coming.
We lost Koepka, I think, so... We're gonna slide somebody in there, Berger or somebody.
Berger, I think Berger will be on that team.
Dude, that guy hits that huge fade cut.
Yeah, he's a gritty competitor. I like him on there. Put him with Patrick Reed or something it's Spieth plays with Reed, but it's not going to be a pushover over in Europe. I mean, that European team's going to have some really good players. Yeah. Rahm's going to be on it.
You got Fleetwood.
Yeah.
They're going to be loaded.
Yeah,
they're going to be loaded.
Thomas Peters.
Just bombing with Rory.
Poulter.
Does Poulter back on the team?
No, he's
he might be on it.
Yeah,
I know he might.
He actually did.
He's playing, he's like almost the top 50 again.
He started coming on at the end of the year.
Yeah, ever since he got that thing
started. Remember, he lost his card.
Yeah.
And Brian then they Gage. Found out Brian Gay, there was like a mathematical screw up.
His wife did math.
Yeah. His wife did math.
What the fuck?
Figured out there was like a 1 point change that got Poulter basically into another couple of
events. They misallocated points.
Yeah.
The PGA Tour messed up.
Yeah. How does that happen, by the way? I mean, what kind of organization is running this shit? It's like the biggest charitable arm in the like all of pro sports.
Put on the blockchain.
But seriously, let's go.
That like all of a sudden Poulter woke up and he's played really, really solid. I haven't seen a shank in a while.
Oh man, if we the shanks. We'll see.
There's got to be one this year. Again.
There'll be a short iron.
All right,
I'm calling it at the players.
Predictions for Sergio.
The Callaway man.
A, does he win this year? B, does he ever win another major in his life?
Yes and yes.
All right.
I say he wins this year.
With conviction.
I say he wins the Open Championship this year.
Oh, God.
He has one win this year on the PGA Tour and one win on the European Tour this year. No majors.
I don't think he's going to win another
major. He's got a baby coming. He's getting married, right?
I think he needed that. He's always wanted that. He's like a really sensitive soul.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, does when the baby comes, is that going to change his... He's climbed his mountain, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel
it's
like...
He's going to be home more.
You know, of course, this is all complete speculation. We don't know these people actually in their day-to-day lives.
Not even in the slightest.
But I feel like, you know, to a certain extent, like, he got the monkey off his back, and now it's like...
You can freewheel it a little.
I'm calling for crazy wind at Carnoustie. And Sergio posting like 6 under to win.
I could get with that.
Just ball striking it, just hitting low bullets.
Even after he made the switch late last year, he got out of TaylorMade and started using Callaway stuff. He stayed playing pretty well.
Yeah,
he'll I don't be think fine. There's going to be a big drop.
Dude, that guy, he's a ball striker. He's so consistent. I mean, honestly, you put anything in his hands and within a week, he's going to be
Could he
back
play
where
the Cleveland VAS Irons from 95?
I don't know. We'll sure send him a set.
Play anything.
No, but the big fuck up was Xander Schauffele. Like, what are you doing, dude?
I know.
You a year and you're going to go Callaway after 1 year?
That's weird.
Do you think they just threw a bucket of money at him?
I mean, that's pretty much what all of it comes down
that's
to.
Such
what
a
was
big
he playing before?
TaylorMade.
Yeah.
The thing is, everyone makes such good equipment anymore. They really do. I don't think the days of 20 years ago of jumping from one to the other is as big of a deal. I mean, everyone's equipment is outstanding anymore. There's just not that much of a difference.
For the second time tonight, I'm going to reference Bubba and Volvic.
I didn't say golf ball. Golf ball is the biggest thing more than the equipment.
Yeah,
I know.
No one has immediate success jumping between clubs, though.
True.
That's true.
I bet you will not notice anything from Sergio going from TaylorMade to Callaway.
I don't know.
Is he changing ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chrome Soft X.
Yeah.
That could... The ball is the biggest change those guys go through. I mean,
you hear like Rory and all those guys that, you know, like when Nike fell off and they had to switch companies, like all of those guys, the decision is made almost based on the ball.
Yep.
That's it. Like... Rory said he went through so much testing. You could give that guy anything, he's going to end up hitting it well. But how does the ball react? Totally. And how much do they spin it?
The Bubba thing wasn't equipment. That was a ball that didn't spin it.
That was one of the worst money grab ideas in the history of the PGA.
$1 million.
It's like $1 million.
Well,
come on. I mean,
but he ended up only $1 million.
Cost
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
As much as the thing, if you. You know, the Volvic ball just doesn't, for him, just didn't spin as much. It just, and he spin, well, I mean, he spins the ball.
Didn't do anything.
It doesn't for anyone.
It didn't go in the hole. It didn't do anything.
Two-piece distance balls.
So hold on. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that Rory or whoever has to go to a company and play their ball? Why can't he just say, I'm playing a Titleist, I'm playing the Pro V?
Well, you could sign a ball contract.
I know you can't. So why the fuck would they even concern themselves with that? Like, why not say,
I
think what he did was found the best ball.
Found the best ball.
And then sign an entire equipment deal to get
based on
that money.
The TP5 ball was the ball that was best used for him. And then he did an equipment contract around the ball.
All right, so let's say you...
That's my understanding.
You hit every ball and you decide you want to play a Callaway ball.
Okay.
But you like the new twist face, like an M4.
Well, that's going to be a problem between those two companies. And then you're going to have to... There's no way either one of those companies is going to let you give you a contract to play the ball.
You're telling me that TaylorMade and Callaway would not Neither one of them or both of them couldn't come to an agreement with Rory,
not with
freaking McIlroy.
No, not between those companies. What's going on right now is a competition. There's no way that would happen. God. You could do a Bridgestone ball and a TaylorMade.
Well, if I'm Rory, I'm like, well, fuck you guys then. I'm going to play the ball I want. And I'll buy your clubs.
No, Duffner's doing the Koepka. Like, Duffner has the Titleist deal for the ball and like his shoes or something.
Yeah, right.
But ball, then he's playing. Glove. Yeah, he was playing Mizuno irons, TaylorMade driver, like. You know, whatever he wants. But yeah, I don't think you'll ever get a guy that can play a Callaway ball and TaylorMade you know, wood.
There's too much competition.
The Mizuno irons. Hot. It's like, yeah, super hot. What are they? JPX
900
tours. 900s. Everybody's Koepka on those things.
And Duffner. It's like one of those most revealing things of like, if Mizuno was pushing money into like tour sponsorships and stuff, like, you see all these guys that go off-brand, that don't have contract deals. I mean, a lot of guys do pick Mizuno when they aren't getting paid. So, definitely speaks to their irons for sure.
Yeah, it's just, but the ball's the biggest thing. You watch those guys, they got to get a ball they're comfortable with. Once they get a ball they're comfortable with, then they'll work their equipment around that ball. But you'll get some companies that can work together, you know, TaylorMade with Tiger's deals with Bridgestone for the ball, right? And that's fine, but Callaway and TaylorMade right now, those guys are...
You can do the DeChambeau and put the Bridgestone ball in the Epsom salt and spin it and make sure that it's perfect quality and, yeah.
Is he win this year?
Yeah, he could pick up like a lower level event.
We followed him at the Deer, which he won.
He was solid.
Dude, his game is... It's pretty fun to watch, I'll say that. Yeah. And I will definitely applaud him just for being different and interesting, because otherwise, like, it just gives me something to laugh at or talk about.
I was surprised as he was as when he wanted to be. He was as long as Patrick Rodgers.
He can mash. He definitely can hit it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I knew he was long. I didn't know he was.
He's got those tennis racket grips. He's just out there swinging that thing. Like, I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's definitely different to watch, and you're watching. We're watching Patrick Rodgers and DeChambeau, and it's just like, I don't know, if you played their best ball on that 18 holes, they shot like 12 under.
It was a show.
13 under.
Poor Eric Axley just getting out driven by like 50 yards by these kids going, oh my God, get me to the Champions Tour.
Yeah.
He recovered well, though.
He was in there on the Webb Championship. He was doing okay.
He's a player. Yeah, he's a solid tour player, but you watch those kids just, I mean, bombing at 50 past them all day. They were hitting 3 woods past them.
Yeah.
I didn't know Bryson was that long.
At some point, I just wanted to hand Eric Axley a pork chop sandwich and be like, dude, I don't know what else.
Here's a Bud Light and a pork chop.
Was he getting beat by... Was he at the cut line behind by 20 shots?
At the Deer?
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was not good.
Those guys both went like 66, 67 that day, and he shot like...
No, 80. They went like 62, 63 that day.
I don't even... It was,
they were 89 whatever it was. Yeah, it was low.
All right. Tiger Woods, is he going to win?
Fuck no.
I say yeah. I think he's back.
I don't think
you guys are crazy.
I don't think he wins.
I'm buying into it. The guy.
I watched all 4 rounds of that tournament. That dude was back.
Dude, he was. I mean, he literally was right there. He was winning the tournament on Saturday.
Jerking DJ off for 183 ball speeds. He was like 186, 187 on something.
Dude,
what?
Crazy. Short game looked a little... Everyone's short game looked a little goofy.
Oh, it looked bad there.
So. A
couple chunks?
Well,
the grain. They said it was all grainy there. It's like a weird.
He had some good bunker shots. He had some nice delicate touch shots. Like carry a little.
Well, we'll find out here. I mean, I'm surprised he's playing in the at Torrey.
I know
with the cold weather and stuff.
In the long rocks.
Yeah, that's his ballpark though.
That's a terrible decision.
Oh hell no!
He's gonna fucking break his ass again.
One U.S. Open there.
For another 2 years.
He's probably won Farmers like 5 times. That's like horses for courses. You know.
I thought he would. He's not playing in the what's the Bob Hope called now? He's not playing in that one. He may
never
not.
Never played in that, really.
Well, I just thought that'd be a good... It's 80 degrees. It's warm.
Nah,
it's a birdie fest.
Janky-ass golf courses, though. He wants to go out there and, you know.
Yeah, I think he'll win at some point. I think he's going to. I mean,
this
like,
year.
He's got... Yeah, this year. He's got so much momentum. He's super confident. I feel like he's...
I wonder what the Vegas odds are him on winning. Just winning a PGA Tour.
I'm sure there it's a window.
There's way too low.
15-1 on
Yeah, you're never going to get any value on that because
he's
Tiger Woods.
Bet it.
Right. You'd be better off betting on Fowler to win.
I hope he wins. It's great for... I'm in the golf industry. I hope he does win.
Like, I'm a huge Tiger fan. I hope he wins all four majors and six tournaments. Yeah,
and all over the parking lot. And
literally.
I used to never root for Tiger. Like, I respected his game, but I couldn't root for him, and now I'm actually rooting for him. Like, I want him to play well. I want him to do well. It seems like he's smiling and having more fun.
So. The cool thing about it is, like, his entire demeanor seems to be, like, just way more...
Yes.
Laid back and like excited and just like happy to be out there playing
and playing like, well.
Everyone is cheering for him, like in the golf world. Like, it's crazy because, like, I mean, obviously, he was a pretty divisive personality, like on tour. I mean, like, everybody's rooting for him,
but even in the Bahamas, he was on his grind on some of them shots
for sure,
like Sunday, especially because he played like shit Saturday.
Yeah,
and he had something to prove Sunday, and he came out and he did it.
Yeah.
He had like 7-under low round of the well, except of Ricky, you know, birdie in first.
His driver swing looked good. I couldn't believe how well he drove the ball.
He was hitting three woods like 280 in the greens.
He was sweating his balls off like he used to, you know, and like.
Well, I hope he plays well. How great would it be if he won a major this year?
I agree.
Comeback story.
All right, here's the question that really matters only to me and no one else.
Is this the final one of our first podcast?
I don't know. Does Ricky Fowler win a major this year?
God, I hope. I have a bet on that.
I think he's going to win the Masters.
This year?
Yeah.
No.
Ugh. He's going to win one.
No way. Not as long as he plays Cobra, he ain't going to win.
Ouch. I like it.
No, it's for real. Who plays Cobra? Him and Lexi Thompson.
There you go.
Who?
And Bryson.
Well, he wears that. You know, he's got that one length. You know, you could do that, one length of whatever you want.
Yeah, okay.
He don't really think
that, that's Cobra. An anomaly of right. Like,
I don't think there's anything wrong with that equipment.
Yeah, if you're a 14 handicap,
I like the
game
improvement type shit. It's just, I really firmly believe that.
I like their woods. I don't think their woods are that
I don't think he would compromise his career. I think the
for $40 million,
that equipment is just fine.
I'd probably compromise my career.
So you think if he switched over to like Titleist or whatever company you want, that he'd probably be posting more wins and stuff like that?
I disagree with that one. Highland disagrees with Golds on that one. All right, first argument.
But yeah, I have I got a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue Label on the line.
So do I.
With my buddy Scott.
I got it with the doc.
Yeah.
We got bets with the doc, don't we?
So you're betting that Fowler's...
He gave me a 10-year
time
horizon. Like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I was arguing that he's going to get better, and the doc was seeing our friend the doc... That when Ricky really had the club behind him and dropped in, and he said, "There's no way that's going to hold up under pressure." And then, of course, like 1 year later,
he starts working Butch Harper. He's like, "Oh shit!"
Exactly. So I think I got like 5 years.
Exact situation that I'm in.
I have 5 years left on this bet.
Yeah,
he'll get one before then.
He was close. The 1 year he finished top five.
We will bring the bottle. The year that he started working with Butch, he finished like T2, T2, T5.
No,
T2.
That was after
Ryan was shit in his pants every major.
It was ridiculous.
We're bringing the Johnny Walker Blue in if we win.
Yeah.
All right.
You go to Costco. Well, it's like $200.
You're on the other side of the bet. I bet Ricky wouldn't win a major for 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh, Ryan's we win on. One way or the other, then we gotta share it.
Yeah. I win either way because it's my friend, and it's so either one is gonna get a bottle.
Then
and
the
I'm
other
drink
question
it.
Of this year is with Ryan Armour actually being a PGA Tour winner, can I still really text Ryan Armour to say how are you doing? Because it's really not like under the radar anymore.
I mean, if Ryan Armour, the professional golfer, wins a tournament this year, then Ryan Armour, the lawyer, will have to have a different name on the podcast because otherwise, like,
they're going to think we have Ryan Armour,
right? Like, yeah. Ryan Armour's a weekly guest on some bullshit podcast.
You can call me Brian. That's fine.
Look, Duke.
Duke Armour.
Duke.
All right. Is this a wrap up?
Yeah. We good? Anybody other? Any last thoughts? Throw them out there. I can edit all this stuff to whatever.
We just got
to
find Johnny Ray Houston.
Calc's coming up.
Put up the Houston
shortly.
Batman signal.
Yeah, we got Bobby Clampett.
Good
luck. And just also announced today, very nice, Sean McKeel will be on the podcast, major champion coming on.
Yeah.
So, getting ready for the Champions Tour next year.
Yeah,
so
My Golf Spy, Adam Beach.
Yeah, Adam Beach from My Golf Spy will be on.
Sweet, yeah.
Maybe we should try to get... the other Ryan Armour on, too.
Why don't I come on as Ryan Armour, the golfer?
No. How about you host it? Ryan Armour hosts Ryan Armour.
That'd be fun. Yeah. Why don't you interview
we gotta
Ryan
go
Armour?
Someone's got to go Ryan
Battle Armour.
No, we could do like a like. Oh, we gotta have like a match if he's ever around.
Listen, motherfucker, you've been stealing all my goddamn Google results for too long.
How many strokes would he have?
Oh, you got the email that was supposed to get sent to Ryan Arbor, the golfer.
I get many emails
congratulating you on like your
victory.
Web.com.
Yeah, when he won
your card,
the tour event this year, I got like five emails. That were like family and friends, like of the golfer.
Wait, do you still have those emails?
I'm sure I do.
There you go.
Email them. Yeah, hey, give me the
because I'm Ryan Armour and we want him on the podcast. Yeah. I mean, that's also a great story. I'd love to have him on. I mean, it's fantastic.
No, I'm sure you would love the fact that I'm like, yo, dude, I'm getting all your emails.
You should be his attorney.
Bob from Akron says congratulations.
All right, so that was it. First episode. Please have mercy on my terrible audio engineering skills. Hopefully, anyone that made it to this point had some laughs and maybe agreed or disagreed with some of our pretty polarizing thoughts. But looking forward to recording some more of these. We do have some other interviews lined up. Bobby Clampett, Adam Beach from My Golf Spy, Sean McKeel. We are lining up other guests as we go. So a lot of exciting stuff coming up. And check us out on social media, Golf Sub 70.
God, is somebody actually going to listen to this?